accidentally left about 8 or 9 of my charts at home tonight, so I may accidentally call for a few charts that I'm going to be able to put up. But it would probably be just good just to do them without it. I'll begin by trying to take up the things that Mr. Jenkins said, and then if I have time left over, get back to some affirmative arguments that I hadn't dealt with yet, presented yet. He first started with the soldier in the trench argument. What if, you know, what if you had a hat on or a helmet on? What if we have to take that off in wartime when it increases danger? That's the consequences of that position. Yes, we have to accept the consequences of our positions, and I accept the consequences of our positions. Mr. Jenkins, you are a prophet tonight. He predicted that I would bring up the Baptist argument, and I'd already written something down before he said that, and that's exactly what I was going to bring up. Matter of fact, I debated a young Baptist, 4 or 5 years older than me, named Steve Garrett a couple of years ago in North Carolina. He made the same argument trying to prove that baptism wasn't necessary to salvation in his first speech. He said that what about a soldier in the field? And there's no water around, he wants to become a Christian. He couldn't become a Christian because he couldn't be baptized, and then what if he died? Very same argument that you made. Now let me tell you what I did. I won't tell you everything I said, but one thing I said, I said, Steve, that's an emotional argument. And I talked about some other things about seeking, you shall find, and things like that, but I said it's an emotional argument. You know what Steve did, Mr. Jenkins, his next speech? This is a Baptist. This would be Eddie Garrett's son. This is what he said. He said, I retract the argument, Pat, it is an emotional argument. He said, I retract the argument, it was emotional. That's what a Baptist did, Steve Garrett did. And I just wonder if Mr. Jenkins will do the same thing that Steve did and retract the argument because it's an emotional argument. As I was telling Robert earlier today, every issue there is in the religious world, you can think of an extreme hypothetical that makes it sound difficult. But extreme hypothetical situations do not ever change the words. We must understand what the words say, believe it, regardless of the consequences. And I believe Mr. Jenkins will agree with that. And then Mr. Jenkins says, well, I'll accept the consequences of Pat's position. He'll show plainly that my position is true. Well, I believe that I have shown plainly that it's true, but that's for the audience to judge. But I think it's the other way around. I don't think I really think it's the other way around. I think that you ought to make him prove his position before you ever practice what he teaches, because he'll agree that my position is the safe position. Now, that didn't really prove anything, but it sounded like he was making that backwards. Really, he needs to do that. Simply put, there's no proof given that the long hair is the only covering taught necessary. My opponent is under obligation to prove the fact that it is contending for that a woman does not have to wear an artificial covering when she prays or prophesies. We both agree that the practice that I am contending for, that is the artificial covering and the long hair, is right and a safe course to follow. The practice his view advocates is the one that is in question. Therefore, for the woman of his persuasion, having only one covering, or zero covering, to leave off an artificial covering by faith, that is, without doubt, Romans 14:23, their practice must be proven. This my opponent has not done. Here's my point. Yes, I believe that I need to prove my position clearly. Okay, but what if I wasn't able to do that? That's not the critical thing. He's the one that has to prove his position clearly. Because to practice his position without doubt, he's got to prove his position clearly. If I can't prove my position and he can't prove his position, you're going to have to practice the artificial covering because we know that's the right, safe course to follow. I think he had that backwards. I don't think that's very important, but I think he had it backwards. And then he talked about the purpose equal to win, or put up number 7. Okay, one of them we don't have. He said in Haman, Esther 6, verse 12, in my question, can I have the question real quick? In my question, I agree that in that case, the purpose did equal to win. In other words, the win of his covering was mourning, and the purpose of his covering was mourning. And that's true. That's true. They happened to be the same at that time. Let me read all of my answers, since he didn't choose to do so. He asked me if they're the same. He just asked me if the same. I said, I think so in this case. Here the mourning is both the purpose and the win. The purpose of a thing and the win of a thing are two different characteristics. Do you agree with that? which may or may not coincide. In this case, they did coincide. But in many cases, they don't. And I'm just going to give you some examples. And this is your case to prove. Of course, the way you're presenting it, you're going to have to prove that the when always equals the purpose. And I show that's not true at all. Sometimes it is. Sometimes it is. But many times it's not. And your position demands that it always is, because that's your proof. Number 70 I have, which you can't show up there. Let me give you some examples of some times when the purpose and the when are clearly not the same. For example, here's one that's just an everyday illustration, but I believe it's easy to understand. Custom, not the Bible, but custom tells the woman to wear a white dress at her wedding to symbolize purity, virginity. According to Mr. Jenkins' rule, that the when has to always equal the purpose. According to Mr. Jenkins' rule, custom should demand that she wear a white dress all of the time from birth till marriage, since that is how long she should remain a virgin. The white dress represents or symbolizes her virginity. Is she just supposed to be a virgin at that moment, or is she supposed to be a virgin from the time she's born all the way up until the time she's married? All the way. According to his reasoning, she'd have to wear that white dress that symbolizes the virginity all that time. But that's his reasoning, not mine. See, we both agree that the covering, in a sense, symbolizes the subjection. So he said, since she's to be in subjection all the time, she's going to have to be covered all the time. Well, no, not necessarily. Any more than the white dress represents virginity, does she have to wear the right dress the whole time that she's supposed to be a virgin? Custom would demand that according to his position. Let me give you a few biblical examples. The purpose for the Lord's Supper is to remember Christ's death. Now, his argument is that the when equals the reason or the purpose. The purpose for the Lord's Supper is to remember Christ's death. We should remember Christ's death daily, or even more frequently. Therefore, we should eat the Lord's Supper daily by his reasoning. That's his reasoning. The purpose for the Lord's Supper is to remember Christ's death. We should remember that not just on Sunday, the first day of the week, but every day, if not more frequently. Therefore, by his reasoning, we should eat the Lord's Supper every day. The purpose for the contribution is for the congregation to spend for the Lord's work. The congregation may spend for the Lord's work on any day of the week. They may spend for the Lord's work any day of the week. Therefore, according to his reasoning, the contribution may be on any day of the week. That's according to his reasoning when he says that the when and the purpose always coincide. They don't. Sometimes they coincide. That doesn't mean that purpose and when are the same thing. No, they're two different characteristics. Sometimes they coincide. I gave an example of one of my questions, or one of the answers to the questions that he didn't read. Like a man when he is fighting a fire wears a helmet because he's fighting a fire. The purpose and the when happen to coincide. But I gave you the example of the virgin. She wears a white dress, but it does not coincide with the purpose of the reason. One final example. Though not the only reason, one of the reasons a person should be baptized in water is to show subjection to Christ. Baptized in water to show subjection to Christ. Not the only reason, but one of them. Perhaps the underlying reason. Therefore, according to Mr. Jenkins' reasoning, a person should continue to be baptized just as long as he is in subjection to Christ. Just as long as he is in subjection to Christ, he should continue to be baptized. His reasoning is just not correct. Then Mr. Jenkins went to Mark chapter 11, verse 25. Put up number 13. Mark 11, verse 25. Everybody turn there. Interesting passage. Since I don't have the... I'm going to turn there since I don't have it on my chart. Mark 11, 25. It says, and when you stand praying, forgive. And if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. Remember in my speech, I clearly pointed out that I did not believe that the phrase praying or prophesying there, all by itself, meant that was the only time that she had to be covered. Now, because there are no other passages that teach, say, for example, in Jude, that she used to have the catechetical covering when she cooks, then I conclude she doesn't have to wear it when she cooks. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 5 does not by itself teach that's the only time she has to be covered. What it teaches is that the covering is temporary. You see, and here's the big difference in Mark 11, verse 25. When you stand praying, forgive. Yes, we have to forgive at other times than when we stand praying. As a matter of fact, Luke 17, verse 3 says that we ought to forgive any time a brother offends. Now, forgiving somebody and having a forgiving spirit or attitude, which is all the time, are two different things. We're to have a forgiving attitude all the time. But we're to forgive only when the brother repents. The Bible proves that. Now, we forgive when we stand praying. We forgive whenever they repent. That's not my point. But this verse is parallel to 1 Corinthians 11:5, if you stick the bell in.
in this way. Watch. When you stand praying, forgive. That phrase, when you stand praying, does it show that this forgive is something that you, it's possible to do on an occasion? Is it possible to forgive on an occasion and not forgive on another occasion? In other words, is it possible, if you have all against the brother, to when you're praying, forgive that brother when you're praying, and not be forgiving of that brother, and not forgive that brother, say on another occasion? It is, isn't it? And that's my point. My point is not that in this passage, forgive, and this is the only time you have to forgive when you're praying. No. My point is that forgive is something you can do on an occasion. And it shows that forgiving somebody is something you can do on a temporary basis. You can forgive somebody when he repents. And when he won't repent, you should not forgive him any more than God will not forgive him. And you don't just constantly forgive all the time. Like a person has the long hair all the time. Even a forgiving attitude, though we're supposed to have it all the time, it's possible to have a forgiving attitude on an occasion and not have a forgiving attitude on another occasion. And that's simply not true of the long hair. It is not possible to have long hair for the occasion of praying or prophesying and then not have the long hair on other occasions. It's not an occasional thing. It's a permanent thing. So really, Mark 11:25 helps my position in that it shows that something can be done on an occasion, but it's possible not to do it on another occasion. And that's why the long hair will not fit in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 5, because that is not true or possible, the long hair. Let me show you some sentences here that will help you understand this principle and some others. Ethel, be sure and wear a red dress while at the Alabama football game tomorrow. Does that make sense? I believe it makes sense. Mr. Jenkins agrees with me. That's parallel to 1 Corinthians 11, verse 5, if you put the veil in here. But if you were to say, Ethel, be sure and be skinny while at the Alabama football game tomorrow, does that make sense? Everybody in here, ask yourself that question. Does this make sense? Ethel, be sure and be skinny while at the Alabama football game tomorrow. That makes sense to me. Mr. Jenkins also said it doesn't make sense. That's parallel to 1 Corinthians 11, verse 5, if you stick the long hair in there. Because being skinny and long hair are both things that take a long time to get to if you're not already there. And you can't just be skinny for the Alabama football game. You can't just have long hair for the Alabama football game. You couldn't be skinny just for the time of praying or prophesying. You can't have long hair just for the time of praying or prophesying. But you can wear a veil just for the time of an Alabama football game and pray. Bobby, be sure and be good while at Granddaddy's house on Saturday. Does that make sense? It does. It's a little bit different than this one. Being good is something that we should do all the time. We should, though we don't have to. It's a temporary thing. You can turn on and on and off goodness. In other words, Bobby could be good at Granddaddy's house, but when he goes to Aunt Martha's house, he could be bad. You can do that on occasion. We're not supposed to, but it's possible. Now that's parallel to Mark 11:24 and 25. That's parallel. Now you should forgive anytime somebody repents, but you don't have to. You can forgive on an occasion. It's not possible. It's possible not to. It's something you can do for an occasion and not do for another occasion. This is really Mark 11:25 is more parallel to this sentence, which is not obvious. Bobby, be sure and say thank you while at Granddaddy's house on Saturday. Something you do on an occasion. Bobby, be sure and say thank you at Granddaddy's house on Saturday. Now here's the parallel. You're supposed to say thank you at Granddaddy's house, showing that thank you is something you can do on occasion. But we know from other considerations that you're supposed to say thank you elsewhere too. You're supposed to say thank you elsewhere too. And that's the same thing is true with Mark 11:25. You're supposed to forgive when you pray, and you're supposed to forgive at other occasions too, anytime you will repent. But now let's notice the parallel to 1 Corinthians 11, verse 5, if you stick the long hair in there. Bobby, be sure and be physically tall while at Granddaddy's house on Saturday. That doesn't make any sense, does it? Does not make any sense any more than Ethel be sure to be skinny while at the Alabama football game tomorrow. Karen, be sure and be covered with a hood while outside riding your bike today. That's parallel to 1 Corinthians 11, verse 5 if you stick the veil in. Everybody will agree that makes sense. Karen, be sure and have long hair while outside riding your bike today. I don't believe that makes any sense. What do you think? And Mr. Jenkins says that it does. I don't think that it does. I'll let the audience decide. Karen, be sure and have long hair while outside riding your bike today. Doesn't make any sense to me. Either she's already got long hair or she doesn't. She can't do it for the occasion. But he said that it makes sense because he knows this is perfectly parallel to this one down here, which is just a paraphrase. In my best words, the first thing is 11 verse 5, he just picked long hair. And he knew that it was perfectly parallel, and so he checked that it made sense. But I think you can see this sentence does not make any sense. As a matter of fact, this sentence, there's no difference that I can see in this sentence, lower down, and this sentence. Ethel will be cheering me, skiing when I fell down the football game and all. Mr. Jenkins says, that doesn't make any sense. Everybody can see that it doesn't. I don't see any difference in this sentence and this sentence. Because both say to do something for an occasion that you can't change for an occasion. You can't be skinny for an occasion. That's a permanent thing, at least regarding to the time frame we're talking about, the Alabama football game. It would take you a long time to change that. Karen, be sure to have long hair without that right in your mind. You can change that, but it takes a long time. You can't do it just for an occasion, as that sentence would imply. Does not make any sense. I think you can see that, but that's parallel to sticking long hair in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 5. Lucy, be sure to be covered with a veil while praying. That makes good sense. Lucy, be sure to have long hair while praying. That's 1 Corinthians 11, 5. If you stick long hair in there, does not make any sense. I think that's easy to see. You just be honest and ask yourself the same questions as I did. Do these make sense? I think you will check it the exact same way I did. And then by the time you get down here, you'll see this sentence does not make any sense. Then you'll see that long hair does not fit in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 5. Raise it up, Thomas. It just doesn't make any sense to command a person to be skinny while at Alabama football game, to be tall like Band-Aid's house, to have long hair while riding your bike, to have long hair while praying. Now let me address some of his questions here. He didn't read all of my answers, and I don't expect that he has to. I don't feel that's required, but I'd like to read them because I believe I gave perfectly good explanation there, and if he'd have just read my answers, then you'd understand stood the truth on the matter. First of all, he said, if a man is to be forgiving all the time, would it make sense to tell him to forgive at a certain time? I said yes, and then I said, but he is not to forgive at all times. You notice the switch there. One, he said forgiving, and then he said, would it make sense to tell him to forgive at a specific time? Forgiving and forgive are not the same thing. A person is to have a forgiving attitude, if that's what you mean by that, all the time. But he's only to forgive on occasions, like when a man repents. He is not to forgive at all times, but it is something he can do on occasion. If the only covering required of a woman was her long hair, which she is to have all the time, would it make sense to tell her to be covered at a specific time? No. And I gave the answer, because the specific time, and he acted like I had an inconsistency in A and B, but I answered, when I put the reason out here, I included both A and B, but you mark out forgive down here. But I included both. I said, because the specific time would indicate that it is possible to forgive and cover, or cover either one, at and only at the specific time mentioned. For forgive, that would be when a person repents. For the covering, that would be when a woman is praying. So it's possible. Now, leaving everything else in the passage like it is, number three, if verse 7 said, for a man indeed ought not to cover his head for as much as he is praying, would you conclude that praying was when he was to be uncovered? And I said, probably. I didn't feel like maybe I didn't have enough information there, but I thought maybe I could conclude that probably that was. Now, I'll just go back to my former point that I made earlier in the speech. Sometimes the purpose and the when just so happen to coincide. But they don't always. I've shown many times that they don't. Sometimes they happen to coincide. I said the difference in that, in 1 Corinthians 7, 11, verse 7, as it is that praying is an activity. Like a man should cover his head because he is fighting a fire. That's an activity. But imaging glory of God, for as much as he is the image and glory of God, is a state of being. Like a woman should wear a white dress at her wedding because she is a virgin. It's a state of being. Because it's a state of being and not an activity, that helps you to understand the difference. For as much as he is the image of glory of God, does not tell when he's to be covered. That tells why he's to be covered. It does not indicate the when at all. Any more than the fact that a woman is a virgin all the time when she's from birth till marriage indicates when she should have a white dress on, as far as custom is concerned. And then he made the argument about the fits better. Tommy put up number 35 very quickly. Number 35. In one of his questions to me, previous to our first debate, I made the statement that basically I was honest enough to admit that hair, I think, in my opinion, that was just my opinion, would fit Paul's consistency argument in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 6, better than the veil. It would fit it better, the consistency argument. I'm not talking about praying or prophesying part, just the consistency part. But that improved his proposition. For example, I've debated with C. Garrett again. No, it was his dad, on whether or not a person is born in sin, and they'll bring up this passage. Jeremiah 13:23a, can the Ethiopian change his skin of the leopard in spots? This is an illustration. If you look at the second part of the verse, it's an illustration given to prove this. These two facts illustrate how difficult it is for those that are accustomed to evil to change and do good. Well, the guy, the primitive Baptist,
says, the Calvinist says, this illustration proves that a person is born in sin. Now, the illustration will illustrate that because the Ethiopian is born with the guilty, having born with that sin. The leopard is born with his spots. The illustration will fit their position. And I might say, I think it fits that position better than this one. But that's not the question. What does the illustration fit better? You see, the writer of this book, Jeremiah, didn't start out with the illustration and just say, you believe whatever this illustrates, or you believe whatever it illustrates best. He started with this truth right here, but then he used an illustration to illustrate the truth. Anything else that this illustration might illustrate that's also the truth or false is just coincidental. That's just coincidental. You're going backwards. He started with the truth, and then he made the illustration.
Let's take a brief intermission for 5-6 minutes or so.
Ladies and gentlemen, I want to first note his chart number 13, where he says it just doesn't make any sense. I want to notice just a few of them for time's sake. Ethel, be sure to be skinny while at the football game. Just leave it alone. He asked a question in regard to that, that he hasn't chosen to use yet, but since he asked it and I answered it, I'm going to introduce it. In our first debate, you checked that the sentence, Ethel be sure and be skinny while at the Alabama football game, did not make sense. While you checked that the sentence, Karen, be sure and have long hair while outside riding your bike, didn't make sense. Please explain thoroughly why the skinny sentence does not make sense. I don't know how to explain the skinny sentence doesn't make sense. I can explain how the other one does make sense, and that's what I would have thought that he would ask. My answer is, a woman who is skinny, that's Ethel now, who's fixing to go to the football game. A woman who is skinny could not get fat for the ball game she's fixing to go to, while a woman with long hair could cut her hair short when fixing to ride her bike down here. That's the difference. And he said, Lucy, be sure to have long hair while praying. Just doesn't make any sense at all. But if Lucy was my daughter, and I knew Lucy was contemplating cutting her long hair, would it then make any sense? What if Lucy were my daughter, and I knew all of her peers were cutting their hair, and I had no indication Lucy was intending to do so, but knowing peer pressure, I told Lucy to be sure you have long hair when riding your bike. Then in answer to my question to him, number two, how would you answer the following? If a man is to be forgiving all the time, would it make sense to tell him to forgive at a specific time? He said yes. Then he wrote out here, but it is not, he's not forgive at all times, Luke 17:3. But he's to be forgiving all the time. That's what the question was about. Then the second question, if the only covering required of a woman was her long hair, which she's to have all the time, would it make sense to tell her to be covered at a specific time? He said no. He said, in answering, I crossed forgive out of his answer. Yes, it did, because I said, if you answer no, give me an answer. He answered yes on the first, and so I didn't want his answer on that. And that's the reason I didn't use it. Wasn't dodging anything, he just wasn't doing what he was asked to do. And so I wasn't going to use his superfluous material until he made me waste time on it. He says, because the specific time would indicate that it is possible to cover at and on at the specific time. As I pointed out before, he has yet to reply to it. The specific time specified for the covering no more indicates that it is the one and only time than the specific time for praying indicates it is the one and only time. And surely anyone ought to be able to see that. In connection with this, he said, forgive is something we can do on occasion, not so for long hair. And I've seen the living evidence that you're wrong there, Pat. I was in one congregation where a young lady, college student, came to the assembly with her hair cut short as mine. I loved her. She respected me. She loved me as a brother, as I loved her as a sister. I took her aside and talked to her. This was just before she went home for the summer vacation. When she came back in August, the first thing she did, she came up to me and said, yes, you see my hair? It wasn't as long as it could have been, but it was much longer than when she left 3 months before. It was something that she had off for an occasion, and she put it back on for an occasion. And I don't know whether she ever cut it again for an occasion or not. The fact that the occasion is somewhat longer for one thing than for another doesn't negate the fact that you can put on long hair for an occasion and take it off for an occasion, and surely all of you must see that. He said Mark 11 shows that forgiving can be done for an occasion, but not so with long hair. And then he used a statement about Karen going to granddad's at 8 Martha's, and so I just want to borrow that from you. Karen could have long hair while at granddad's, but have short hair when she next went to 8 Martha's. Just like she could have on an artificial covering when she went to granddad's, but could have no artificial covering when she went to 8 Martha's. He said she could. But this audience knows that she could go to granddad's today and have long hair, and at 8 Martha's tomorrow have short hair, shaven hair, or shorn hair. So she didn't have anything there. So we see that telling Ethel to be skinny as she's fixing the clock for the ball game would be absolutely ridiculous if she's already fat. She can't get skinny overnight. But to tell Lucy that she's fixing to go out and ride her bicycle, be sure and have long hair, and tell Lucy to be sure and have long hair when you pray, makes as much sense as to tell Lucy to forgive when she prays. Because she's to be forgiving all the time, and she's to have the long hair all the time. Okay, you can take that one off, Rick. And now then, I want my chart, number 15, I believe it is. Pat and I agree. We agree that he built his case on the word that is not in the text. Let me elaborate on that just for a moment. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, it says, every man praying, but every time Pat looks at it, he says every man while praying, at least that's his application. And every woman praying, but he says that means every woman while praying or when praying. So he builds his argument on a word that's not in the text. We both agree to that. He thinks it's implied, but he agrees it's not there. I don't think it's implied. But my point now is, both Pat and I agree that he builds his argument completely on a word that's not in the text. We both agree that if the words were in the text, it would not necessarily mean when praying only, or only when praying. And I know we agree that because when the when is, in Mark 11, 25, when praying or prophesying, he says it doesn't necessarily mean only when praying. So we both agree that if the word when was there, it wouldn't necessarily mean only praying, necessarily mean when praying. We both agree that the reason woman is to be covered, and the underlying reason, is she's the glory of man. We both agree that woman is to be covered as to be the glory of man all the time. Now here's my problem. Why can we not agree that she's to be covered with a covering that's commanded all the time? How can we agree that much and then turn out disagreeing relative to the covering that is commanded? She's to have it all of the time. All right, we will take that one off. And I'd like to put my chart 14 back on just for a moment, if you will. I want to show you But even according to such application, Mark 11 is parallel with First Corinthians 11, and neither is parallel with Exodus 6 and 12. Forgive. Why? You want God's forgiveness. When? When praying, when a sinner repents. Be forgiving all of the time. What? Because of it. Why? To honor man. When? When praying, when prophesying. And all of the time. But with Haman, it is what? Because of it. Why? Morning. When? When just morning. So we can see that this is not parallel to our passage, but Mark 11 is. Yet it makes an argument on the one that's not parallel and denies the parallel on the one that is parallel. And Pat misunderstood me. He honestly misunderstood me. But he made the statement that I believe that the occasion in every case determined the when. Never said that, Pat, and if you'd been listening, you'd have known that. The occasion doesn't necessarily determine the when. I'll speak the wrong way now. When praying, that doesn't determine the only when. I listed other whens. So the occasion doesn't necessarily identify the when and the only when. Never have believed that. My point is that in Mark 11, the occasion does determine the when, and in 1 Corinthians 11, the occasion does determine the when. All right, you can take that one off next. Now I want to look at his notes more closely. He said that I made an emotional argument, but I beat him to that one. Told you that I did. And told you what I wanted. Told you what he would do. And sure enough, he did it. If the Baptist hadn't come back and apologized for it, I know what he would have done. He'd turn the passages like Acts 2:38, Mark 16:16, 1 Peter 3:21, Acts 22:16, and showed over and over again where the Bible says to be saved one has to be baptized. And I'll live with the consequences. If he can find the passage that clearly shows that woman to be covered with an artificial covering when and only when prayed. Or prophesy, if he can find one that does, and he indicated he wasn't sure whether he could or not. If he can find a passage that teaches it that clearly, I'll accept the consequences and go along with you that the man in the trench can't pray. But you haven't done that. In fact, in one instance, you said, you looked at 1 Corinthians 11, 5 and 6, and you said, if you stick the veil in, I'll just hazard a guess you never debated a Baptist, Pat, and read Acts 2:38 and said, if you stick baptism. That's what I'm wanting. Something as plain as that, and then I'll live with the consequences. No, I will not retract the argument until you show me as plainly that the Bible does demand an artificial covering for a woman when praying, as you would show the Baptist that baptism is necessary for remission of sins, and when you do that, I'll correct it speedily. He said that Jenkins would agree that his position is the safe position. Well, he thought that because he's an honest man, but he's dead wrong. Jenkins doesn't agree that it's the safe position. I don't believe that it is safe to teach women that they must wear an artificial covering when praying, or their prayer will not be heard. I don't believe it's safe to tell the man in the trench that knows he's about to die that he can't address his God in prayer because he doesn't have time to unbuckle and get his hat on. I don't believe that's safe. I don't believe it's safe to say this is a matter of revealed doctrine and parallel it to baptism like he did when he mentioned the Baptist. Then he said that Jenkins is obligated to prove. Well, tonight, Pat, Jenkins isn't obligated to prove a thing. I'll do that tomorrow night, and I hope you'll remember tomorrow night you're obligated to pop. He said my view was in question, and it is, and I was under the impression that yours is too. If not, why in the world are we having the debate? Then he made a white dress argument. And he said that my position was that the purpose equal of win always, and I've already stated that never have taken that position. He says Mark 11:25 shows a temporary occasion when forgiving, but not so the verse went. Let me start over. He says 1 Corinthians 11 shows temporary occasion for the covering, but not so with Mark 11:25. I don't know why you take the wording of both passages. 1 Corinthians 11:5 says when praying. Matthew 11:25 says when praying. You take the wording of the passages, they're parallel. And I believe you told me, did you not, Rick, that they're parallel in the original language as well as in the language that we read. Well, I'm not concerned with the original because I don't know anything about it. But just wanted to show you that I didn't make a slip up there. They're parallel. Exactly parallel. He said, forgive is something to do on occasion, but not long hair. I've already replied to that. I think I have covered the things that I have down here. So again, I want to turn to the text. And I have just a little more time. It is the prerogative of the affirmative, in fact, I think is obligation, when he's referred to what the, beg your pardon, the negative, when he has referred to what the affirmative says, to then present some things that prove his position. Pat read verse 3 in the beginning. Still trying to get you to comment on it, Pat. I want you to show how you conclude that covering is the main focus of the passage. And that he just used subjection to prove the covering when he introduces the passage with the subject of subjection. As he goes through the passage, he talks about man being subject to his head and woman subject to her head, and says it's a shame if man doesn't have the token uncovered that he's subject to his head. It's a shame if a woman doesn't have the token covered that she's subject to her head. And he admits, as you heard, that consistently he would have to agree that long hair fits verses 5 and 6 better than an artificial covering. But he says the consistency argument just doesn't prevail because Paul is teaching that every woman while praying, and builds his argument on a word that's not in the text, while or when praying, and by supplying a word tries to offset the consistency argument that he agrees mitigates against his position and is in favor of mine. While we're going to mitigate against the consistency argument that I agree is there, I wouldn't do it by supplying a word that isn't there. I'd have to have better evidence for it than that. But verse 7 seems to me to be the real key to the whole thing. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head for as much as he is praying. But the woman should cover her head because she's praying. If it said that, I wonder if Pat would agree that when praying was the time for the man to be uncovered and the woman to be covered. I'm just pretty sure he could agree that that was so. Why can't we all see that when it says, for indeed a man ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God, but the woman the glory of the man, that is teaching that the woman is to have her head uncovered as long as she is the glory of man, and man is to have her head uncovered as long as she is the glory of man. And then when we drop down and see that Paul asks a question about the covering that the woman wears, or about the woman wearing the covering, to get it more precisely, and answers by saying, does not even nature teach you that if a man have long hair, it's a shame to him, but if a woman have long hair, it's a glory to her, for her hair is governor for her covering. I didn't hear what he said about nature providing woman with the long hair, but didn't provide man with the long hair, and therefore the fact that nature provides woman with long hair, not man, shows that a woman ought to have an artificial covering. If it did, I don't know how that would get an artificial covering in, but his whole argument was completely without any basis whatsoever. So, brethren and sisters, look at the context and you will see that hair is referred to 7 times, long hair named 2 times, and the other 5 times, long hair is emphasized because it's in contrast with shaven or shorn. And he hasn't found a veil or an artificial covering 1 time in the passage. I've found hair, and by implication, long hair, 7 times.
Just enough time to turn the page.
I thought I turned my tape on, but it didn't go.
Several more. You can put in several more copies here, sir.